And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. The first step in our adventure is understanding that Scripture commands us to examine everything carefully. What that means is to examine everything carefully. It's not a thought, it's a command. It's something we need to do in order to make sure we understand the difference between what is true and what is false, what is real and what is fake, what is God and what is not. Next, we now come to a challenging DDD, oh boy, which lays it on the line for us as Christians. If we think Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and we believe he's coming again, and that his resurrection verifies everything he taught, then we have to be aware of how we let outside pressures affect our decisions, which could be contrary to what Jesus wants us to do. And finally, we're going to go back into Daniel to get a bit of a handle on why God answers our prayers. For God to answer our prayers, he has to hear our prayers. For God to hear our prayers, we have to offer our prayers in word or thought. For us to offer our prayers, we have to pray. Gee, that sounds silly, but if we don't do it, it doesn't happen. The ace in our pocket is understanding why God would answer our prayers in the first place. It's an absolute heart thriller to get it.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Not too complex there. You can also text us live during the show. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like hitting into the weekend. There we go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Almost there. Just getting closer. It's getting closer. That's all I can say. It's getting closer. Now, all I need is a helicopter to get me from the station to my house.
Right, right.
Okay. You got one in your pocket or anything?
I can go ahead and call one after the show.
Okay, yep, fantastic. That'd be awesome, okay? I mean, me and helicopters and jets. Yeah, we all know each other. Anyway, let's move on. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a prayer request or a praise report. If you have a prayer request, reach out to us. You can either text me, you can call in. You know you can do this online, but I'm just saying if you want to do it now, we'll pray for you now. We're not guaranteeing any answers. We're going to ask God to help. It's like we should be doing that all day long for everything, right? If you've got a praise report, this is an excellent time to share it, because Psalm 40 makes clear that when God puts our feet upon a rock and a new song in our mouth and others hear it, they trust the Lord. It's like, wow, that's an incredible dynamic. You share, others get blessed, even though you're sharing about you being blessed. That is cool. Additionally, we do this weird thing called Bible trivia, and we do it because we can. That's why we do it. Here you go. Here's your trivia question. On the night of Jesus' arrest, what was the password given to the guards that Jesus was the one? Was it a hug, a kiss, or the number 6? On the night of Jesus' arrest, what was the password given to the guards on who Jesus was, identifying who he was? Was it a hug, a kiss, or the number 6? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Well, that's the trivia question. Give you a chance to answer it. On the night of Jesus' arrest, what was the password given to the guards that this is the dude, this is Jesus? Was it a hug, a kiss, or the number 6? There you go. You have your chance to respond. We'll leave that up to you. In the meantime, we are going to remind you about different things. Please be praying for one another, because there is nothing more powerful. I know that people understand this when you say it like this, but there's nothing more powerful than prayer, because through prayer to the Lord, people are resurrected. Blind people see, deaf people hear. People who never knew Jesus become Christians. I mean, there is so much that takes place. The weather changes. The universe changes. That's the power of prayer. Everybody thinks it's laws and passing laws. How's that going? When God gets involved, something serious happens. That's a big, big difference. All right, let's get into our text. Here we go. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, and it's only 4 words. 4 words for this text. Ready? But examine everything carefully. What? But examine everything carefully. That doesn't mean you come in with preloaded judgment in your mind and heart. It just means you check it out. You make sure. Remember the old adage, trust but verify? There's a little bit of wisdom in that. Trust but verify. Make sure it's what it's supposed to be. Test it. Prove it. Make sure that it is it. And I just want to point this out to you. And this is for everything that you're doing in life, everything that you encounter. It's this. It's not a thought, by the way. It's a command. We just need to have this be like the Bereans attitude. And Acts 17:11. This is what it says. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Here's the line. This is going to blow people out right here. Just because Paul said it didn't mean those people were buying it. They needed to examine it for themselves. Just because David says it doesn't make it right. Examine it for yourself. Just because a famous pastor or a famous leader says it doesn't make it so. Make sure it's so. You check it out. You have a responsibility. You have an accountability before the Lord. I say this on a regular basis, and I don't want anybody to miss this. I love faithful shepherds and pastors. I just think they're just so great. But they are not going to answer for you. They might answer about you, but they're not going to answer for you. You're going to answer to God. And in that truth, I just love this billboard. I was traveling to this place, and it's just one of the best billboards. It says, in the end, you're still going to die and face God. It's like, okay. It's like, that's a great billboard. It's like, there's not a lot of room there. It's like, in the end, you're still going to die and you're going to face God. And the truth of the matter is, we need to examine, we need to make sure, we need to be on top of it. And so I want you to be aware of that. I don't want you to be a judgmental Jerry where you're just going around judging people. You just examine to make sure those things are so. When something is taught to you and you take the notes, go check it out. Make sure. Or while it's being taught, make sure. When 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, but examine everything carefully, you should go to 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and see what it says in your translation. Make sure it's on board. Because you have a responsibility before the Lord. And nobody can do that for you. And I love that people want to throw it off on other people. Well, this person said this, and this person said this. Congratulations. That will not change the situation. Because someone said so isn't enough. It must be examined. And that cuts, by the way, in a couple of different directions. Things can be examined and found good. Things can be examined and found not good or bad. Things can be examined and found dark. So that's one of the reasons the Lord wants us to be aware. There's so much influence. You know, as I'm reading and as I study, so I've been doing this for a while. It's like, what, 45 years now. It's like a month away from 45 years. That's a long time. And in that time, I've spent enormous amount of time in the Word because I love it. It's what I do. It's kind of how I breathe. And one of the things that I'm looking at as I'm, you know, in approaching the mid-60s point and getting to that different place is this. There is an abundant amount of information in the Scripture that says you better watch out for people that are just teaching falsely. So I do a lot of teaching, so I have to watch myself. I have to check myself and go, okay, Lord, I don't want to give anybody the wrong this or wrong that, which is why we say on the show, you don't have to agree with everything. You know, I mean, the basic core of the gospel, there's nothing to disagree with. But in different eschatological points of view or different, ecclesiological points where people have different things they do, great, 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 fantastic, fantastic. But in a nutshell, you have to make it between you and God in the accountability realm of eternity. We encourage people to fellowship with one another now, strengthen one another now, bless one another, carry each other's burdens. But when it is all said and done, and it will be all said and done, you still have to answer to God. And so scriptures like Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's why that's important. It doesn't happen just because you say, I am, because I think so, because I was born in America. And that's not an answer. That's not a faith. That's a nationality. It's completely different. Okay? All right. The answer to the question is, what was the question? The question is, on the night of Jesus' arrest, what was the password given to the guards? I mean, what was the indicator that the person that Judas was going to connect to was actually Jesus? Was it a hug, a kiss, or the number 6? And the answer is a kiss. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. That's the answer. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the 3 lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
If Jesus was lying.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas on this magnificent Friday. It's a wonderful Friday, as far as I know, anywhere in the world. Okay, so I guess somebody's calling. They'll call back, and we'll give them a chance to do that. In the meantime, we got to do our – what, they're calling back already? So you don't even get it. You don't even get through it, right? Wow, that's fast. Anyhow, here's the bottom line. We're going to do another trivia question in just a second. We'll take this call first. Then we'll get into our next teaching. We'll do our DNA. I might have some jokes for you or some history. We'll see. And then I do need some additional prayer because I'm trying to decide whether I want to add Malachi into the teaching because there's a lot of people that know about it but don't really understand what the book is. Okay, there you go. Okay, so we're having a little bit of phone difficulty, so for right now, you just forget that. In the meantime, let's just do our DNA. We can just do the DNA and then just leave it off. It's ringing and losing its mind. Yeah, don't worry about it, brother. Here, this is the fun part of the show. Let's just do DNA, okay? Here we go. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily! Spend time with the Lord every day. Why? Because that's the answer. I'm telling you, that is the answer. Some of you are just like, I know, but I'm so busy. Actually, when I was sharing with my son about praying, I had this fantastic thing that took place, and he was like, well, what, you know, what about if I don't have that time separated? What happens? I said, here's the answer. Ready? Wake up 15 minutes earlier and spend time with the Lord. Get 15 minutes less sleep or go to bed 15 minutes later or do whatever it takes. That's what you got to do. Spend time with the Lord. N, that's the D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say or he will be ashamed of you at his return. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means, you know what you do? You don't just focus on yourself. Focus on others. Think about how others are doing. Pray for others. Check in with others. Call people up that you haven't talked to in a little while and say, just checking in, how you doing? Text them, just checking in, how you doing? Email them, just checking in, how you doing? And actually care about their answer. That is what is required. OK, Okay, all right. Here we go with our trivia question. I love it because Jacob's getting the learning process of the phone worketh, the phone don't worketh. Oh my, that's the phone. But then again, remember, everything here was pretty much put together as a studio right after the last dinosaur died. Anyhow, here we go. Here's the trivia question. How many chapters are in the book of Genesis? How many chapters are in the book of Genesis? Ooh. If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question that we are asking is simply this. How many chapters are in the book of Genesis? How many are in there? We will have to find out. So you might have to have Jen help us out on the phone a little. We'll see what happens there because it's going in and out and in and out and in and out. It's ringing even when he's picking it up. Oh, boy. I love our phone system. Well, we need ourselves. Okay, I want to get into the next phrase of what's taking place, or next phase of what's taking place. And this is Daniel chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. And here's what Daniel chapter 2 verse 13 and 14 says, here we go. The decree that was issued that the wise men were to be executed. The decree was issued that wise men were to be executed, and they searched for Daniel and his friends to execute them. Then Daniel responded with tact and discretion to Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, who had gone out to execute the wise men. So now listen to what's going on. There was, in fact, a command, a law, a declaration in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar to execute all the wise men. That's what the command was.
So it looks like we got the phone fixed. So anyone who wants to call in for the quiz, go ahead.
Okay, there you go. So here's the deal. Let's go back to the text, okay? Searching, they were searching for all the wise men in the kingdom, and they were executing them. They were killing the people who were counselors, who were leaders, who were people that brought guidance. Verse 14, Daniel responded with tact and discretion. Can I just say this to you now, right now? What we need to do is we need to be aware that when we talk to people and when we answer people, there is a time to have tact and discretion. There is a time to have a thoughtfulness and an intelligence and a counsel. And so what we'll do is we'll take that call in a minute, but I want to finish these points. Here's the bottom line. When we're talking with people, when we're dealing with people, and some people are not always the nicest people. So this is a guy that came in to see Daniel and say, hey, dude, I got to kill you. I got to execute you in order to do this right before Nebuchadnezzar. Then Daniel responds with tact and discretion. This takes an act of grace and wisdom. And so what we need is the idea to come before the Lord and to have a prayer that we might engage better with others, especially those who maybe even intend to harm us, that we would have a better discretion on how to deal with that, and we need to ask God's help to get to that point. That's the whole key to the text. All right, we do have somebody who's called in and is on the phone, sending him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Alan.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. I'm glad that you're doing great. Glad. Hoping you're getting ready for a fantastic weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. You ready for this triv question?
I think so.
Okay. I love that. All right. Here we go. How many chapters in the book of Genesis?
I'm going to say 48.
Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think, what's the next threshold to reach five decades?
50?
Yes, that's correct! That's the answer! You have done it, sir. So 48 is actually a really good guess, by the way. I just let you know that. But it's 50 in the book of Genesis. The very first book is 50 chapters long.
Thank you. Thank you for just correcting me. I'm taking a guess because I studied it a little while back, and I knew it was a pretty high number.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying. You think the opening book would be, hey, we'll keep this short so you guys can get it?
Well, we love you, David. We love what you do, and we listen every day we can. So we just keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep praying for y'all. You keep praying for us.
You got it. You absolutely got it. Lord bless you.
Yes, sir. Sir.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we do have the phone fixed, right? So that's a couple of good things that we got going on there. Was it just like, because it was back in the day where you had to kind of use the little handle to make it work? The little
roll? Yeah, the plug in the back of it was a little bit messed up, so we fixed that. It looks to be working now, so we're good.
Okay. You sure it wasn't just the crank on there that just, you just keep turning the crank? Anyway. That was the old system, my friend. Trust me. Actually, the old system was really old, so we'll go past that.
If it doesn't again, we might have to bring out the crank phone.
Bringing out the crank phone, and that is not the one we use to make crank calls on people, although now that I've said that, I'll have to think about it. Anyway, all right, great job, Alan. See, that's the big thing is if you call in and you're not, doesn't matter. If you're right there, you're right there. And here's what we'll do. We'll get you there. And I promise you, I will never forget. How many chapters in the book of Genesis? 50. How many? 50. How many? 50. Never forget that. I mean, isn't that cool? Okay. All right, we got a lot to cover and a lot to do, so we're going to take our break right here. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull-oney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
But I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is I'm also – ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Shout out to Jacob, who's doing a great job. Listen, I can promise you, working with me is easy and hard at the same time. Is that fair? That's kind of a fair, right? A little bit? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the more you find out, the more you'll be like, I'm not getting paid enough. All right, anyway, we'll just move on from there. Here's your trivia question. Okay, this is a brilliant. Okay, well, it's not a brilliant question. It's a really good trivia question. Which comes first in the order of the scriptures? Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon? Which comes before which in the canonical book? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Which comes first as you're reading through from Genesis to Revelation, 66, 39 old, 27 and new. Which comes first, Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon? See, now what's great about that is many people are going, yeah, which one does come first? That's what's great about that. All right, you can reach out to us and talk to us that way. I am going to send you up to the website real quickly, and I'm going to tell Jacob ahead of time. We're going to send people to the website because we do need a little bit of help in the dollar area, and we don't want to make a big deal about it, and we want to send you to the website. So we're going to do that and say, if you can give, give. If you can't, the Lord bless you for wanting to. And if you don't want to give, then give somewhere else. You still have to learn to be a giver. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Mananachu. Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa.
That's right.
Another Star Wars. That's just hilarious. It's just so funny. Oh my goodness.
All right.
That's always a fun part. I'm just waiting to see what the thing that plays after.
You don't know the sounds, right? You're just like, right. What's coming? What's coming? That's just so classic. All right, so we are going to do history. Then we'll go back to the trivia question, then we'll get into the teaching. So let's do our history bumper that's on there. Let's see.
Let's go live it in the past.
All right, today is International Coffee Day, and I like coffee. I mean, I have no problem. I don't drink a lot of coffee at night.
Yeah, I'm not a big coffee drinker.
Okay.
But I know a lot of people are.
You like tea?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. All right, it's also National Biscotti Day, and the biscotti is a really great cookie, so if you know what a biscotti is, it's, like, awesome, right? It's got that almond-y flavor, right?
I don't think I've had that.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I know what it is. Just haven't had it.
I'm going to have to help you on that one. It's also National Mocha Day. And so mocha, you know, the only reason I'm going to bring that up is because my son used to love mocha shakes from Arby's when he was a young lad. And so I'll tell you, the last time I took him to get a mocha shake was in Flagstaff, Arizona, many, many moons ago when he and I were playing horseshoes. Boy, I hope he's not listening. And we were playing horseshoes. And he was just learning how to play horseshoes, and he threw the horseshoe up, and he took one step forward, and the horseshoe came down and landed on his head, cut his head. I had to take him to the doctor and then get stitches, and then I took him for a mocha shake.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll remember the first time he had a mocha shake forever now.
What a nice thing for a dad to tell on his son, right? All right, a couple things that we'll move out of this. 1951, the first live sporting event, a college football game, was shown coast to coast in the United States on this day in 1951. 1992, Magic Johnson came out of retirement, played for a season, then went back into retirement. And then also in 1992, on this day, Dr. Benjamin Spock recommended that people should not drink cow's milk. And then the day after that, everybody recognized that Dr. Benjamin Spock really should probably just retire. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to repeat the trivia question and then give everybody an opportunity to answer that and then get into the next teaching. Here we go. Which book is first in the order of the canon? Is it Ecclesiastes, or is it Song of Solomon, or is it Song of Solomon then Ecclesiastes? Which one is first? If you think, and yes, you should look in the back of your Bible or inside the middle of your Bible towards the end of poetry. If you know, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, now, I want you guys to get ready for this, okay? All right. This is such a good teaching. I am trying to get out of the way of it. That's the nicest way to tell you this, all right? This is 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, referring to Elisha. Referring to Elisha. I've taught this before, but there's a reason that I'm teaching it again. I just want you to hear it. They said to him, "Behold, now there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and search for your master Elijah. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord is taking him up and cast him on some mountain or some valley." So Elisha said, "You shall not send them." But they urged him until he was ashamed. And then he said, "Send them." They sent for 50 men, and they searched 3 days, but did not find him. They returned to him while he was staying at Jericho, and Elisha said to them, "Did I not say to you, do not go?" You can be a powerful prophet in the name of God who does 14 miracles. You can be a guy that young kids who make fun of you shouldn't do. You can be a guy that doesn't have a lot of hair. You can be all these things, and you can still be shamed into not doing the right thing. Here's a prophet of God. Nobody's going to question whether this guy had a lot of oomph going on, right? This is Elijah's disciple. We already know how powerful, Elijah, just look on the Mount of Transfiguration, whatever you want to call. Here's what it is. There was Moses and there was Elijah up on that mountain with Jesus. Elijah, this is the guy. He represents the prophets. Moses represents the law. Jesus has the superiority. And Elijah's disciple, Elisha, is a powerful guy indeed. Asked for a double portion of miracles, did twice as many miracles as Elijah. Wow. But when he first started, they couldn't find Elijah, even though they saw him go up in a whirlwind. Hello. And they all were like going, "Hey, we need to look for him." And then Elisha's like going, no, you don't need to look for him. There's no reason to do that. And they're like, no, we need to go look for him. We need to make sure. We need to go look for him. And then he acquiesced and said, okay. Here's why I'm bringing that up. You don't let people shame you into making the wrong decision. In verse 18, when they returned and said we couldn't find him, he said, did I not tell you not to go? Here's the bottom line. He should have stuck to his guns. You see, he said no. They said yes. And it's pressure from the people. And then he's like, okay. And there was no reason to yield. And so we can't let people or the world, spiritual or not, family or not. Ooh, there's a touch right there. Ding. Family or not. You can't have everybody tell you what to do when you know it's the wrong thing to do. Can't let people or the world, spirits or not, persuade us contrary to God's direction for us. Can't do it. I'll just share with you, because you guys know a little bit of my story, but my family, when I became a Christian, tried to buy me, and you think I'm kidding, it's not even a joke, buy me back to the Jewish faith. And by say Jewish faith, their Jewish faith. It wasn't, they really weren't practicing people who loved the Lord. And they offered me mega dollars to go back, to even go to college, pay for everything, including a free condo, and then eventually take over Dad's business, which was worth $36 million back in 1980. So now it's worth $116 million. So I'm just trying to give you an idea how serious that is. And you know what you can't do? You can't do it. Because it's not the right thing. You don't do it.
That's a lot of money. Yeah, but there's a lot of eternity. And a lot of money doesn't buy me a lot of eternity. And so what I'm trying to tell you is you can't let people pressure you. You
have to stick to your guns. And even if people are trying to persuade you, and this is the thing, you go through Nehemiah and Ezra, you look how many times they try to persuade Nehemiah to do something different, go a different direction. Listen, if you've got marching orders from the Lord, if they're biblical, proper, kingdom-oriented marching orders from the Lord. Notice how I said those things. You stick to your guns and do what the Lord has told you to do. Because you serve the Lord God Almighty. He loves you. You're phenomenal to him, but you need to listen to him. Remember what Jesus said? I mean, it's just as forward as it gets. If you don't love me more than these, you're not worthy of me. What? That doesn't seem right. No, that does seem right. You should be more responsive to your actual creator than to any other of the creation. So who do you respond to first, creation or the creator? That's a fair, that's just like, wow, that's good. Okay, Dave, stop. It's Friday. It's supposed to be a nice day. I can't help it. This is where it takes me. It's not up to me. Okay. All right, so we're going to answer the trivia question. Then we're going to take our break. Our trivia question. Oh, this is such a good one. In the canonical scriptures, the process of the scriptures, which book comes first, Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon? And the answer is Ecclesiastes comes first, and then the Song of Solomon. Remember, poetry. Poetry is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Five books in the poetry section. Okay, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, how can I be sure of this to Gabriel? I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, how are you going to do this? When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank.
but with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings.
You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most. I never need
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we're going to be doing a couple of jokes because I have a really good joke and I think it's really funny and I'd like to do it. So we're going to see how that works. Do we have somebody that is on the phone that we want to talk to? All right, send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
David, good afternoon, Sergio.
Hey, Sergio, how are you, brother?
Good, I was going in and out with your high-tech phone system.
Ah, going in. Well, you know, when they did add the crank to it, it surely created certain problems. No, I'm kidding. Wait. Hey. Let me ask you before you ask this question. How about them Lions?
You know what, David? I called it. Remember I told you. I told you this before the season started.
They're really looking good. It's amazing. So, yep, you are on record. You are right now Mr. Prophetic right now.
Well, I don't know about me, but there's a lot more people that look at more football than I do. I just mentioned it to you.
That's brilliant, though.
Yeah. Hey, David, so I know we're up against time, as usual. Thank you for all you do. I do have something I want to share with you. So I'm on my last couple of chapters of Revelation.
Yes.
And next week I'm going to start the Old Testament with Genesis.
Yes.
And I just wanted to get some clarification or guidance as to what, because the New Testament was fairly like straightforward to me, right? But I know that the Old Testament has like a lot of like older names and like words that you can't pronounce and stuff like that. What recommendations will you give me whenever I start that journey? Because I feel really proud that I'm about to finish the New Testament, and I just never thought I'd myself doing that, you know? So.
Well, let me do this for you. Okay, first of all, let me commend you as a brother in the Lord, saying thank you for finishing the New Testament. I'll tell you why. It's changed you, hasn't it? Just reading that book changes you.
For sure.
Right? And so yes, it's important. Sure. It's important for people to understand. I know people are like, oh, it's a book. It's this. It's that. Listen, the scripture is very clear in Hebrews chapter 4, where it mentions that the word of God is alive. It's not just a book, because when you read it, then the Holy Spirit who helped write it connects you to what God is saying. And it makes all the difference in the world. And so I'm so, in a good way, I'm so proud of you that you finished the New Testament. I just want you to know that right now. Okay. Excellent job. In Romans 15:4, it says the things were written aforetime for our encouragement, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to bless us. And so what you're going to do when you go through Genesis is you're going to go through, really, Genesis is the easier one. It's when you get to Exodus, it gets a little goofier. So you really, to some degree, you can enjoy it. Here's the biggest thing to catch when you're going through Genesis. It is not perfect. It's not a symmetrical order. Chapter 1 happens, then chapter 2, and in chapter 2 it points backwards to halfway through chapter 1. So you got to be aware of that. Don't get too confused in that. But here's the thing. You're going to find out that those words that you read will be forever with you the rest of your life. There are four words. You know what they are? They're in the beginning, God. And that is everything you hang on to as you read through the Old Testament.
Okay, that's good to know because, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's like, I was just talking to my brother last night, and, like, Sergio of 20 years ago, Sergio of 30 years ago would have just, like, rolled my eyes at me right now, right? So it's just an amazing journey, and thank you, David.
Yeah, now you're going to be even more challenged when the Lord asks you to do ministry. So you remember these words. Remember this conversation. It'll always be unrecorded. I can't. Sergio 20 years ago never would have done this. And you're going to think, oh, no, this Sergio now is not going to do this. And when you're doing it, you can go back and listen.
All right, that's my exit right there, David. Have a great weekend.
All right, God bless, brother. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Okay. Wasn't that awesome? So Sergio, for those that don't know, is the world's greatest question asker. He asks the best question for a newer Christian because he's like, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And it's fascinating. It's wonderful. All right. It's just absolutely lights out cool. I love it. Love it. So Sergio, I am so proud of you, brother, that just reading those 27 books with faith changed your life. That's just so cool. Okay. All right. I don't want to go down that thing because I'll just sit there and start to get weepy, 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 weepy. All right. Let's leave it there. Trivia question. You got very short time for trivia question. I must try and answer. Ready? New Testament. How many books were written by the Apostle John in the New Testament? What? How many books were written by the Apostle John in the New Testament? If you think you know the answer, since you now know our phone is working, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. And I love people who are fast and they're ready, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother.
Hey,
so
what's
be
going
quick.
On?
Hey. Quickly answer, is it Cinco?
That's correcto. It is Cinco. Correcto.
Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Book of Revelation.
Excellent job. Excellent job, Samson. That is exactly correctamundo. Excellent job.
Yes. Hey, also praise. Report that I'm feeling much better after receiving all those prayers from last 2 days. So
awesome.
Keep me in your prayer.
Absolutely. Everybody
yeah,
keep praying
really,
for
I'm really, really feeling better.
Awesome, brother.
Yeah.
What a great,
yeah.
great testimony to share on the way out. Excellent job.
All right. Be blessed and Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom, bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Got about, 4.5 minutes? That's right. You wouldn't believe how much I can talk about in 4.5 minutes. You'd be amazed. Why does God answer our prayers? Uh-oh. Is this going to be a long theological discussion? No. No, it's not. We're going to skip the jokes for later. Daniel chapter 9, verse 17 through 18. By the way, Jacob, you did a great job adapting, doing all that stuff. See how fun it is? It's like, right? It's crazy, right? It's crazy
yep,
stuff.
Yep, yep.
Crazy stuff. All right, Daniel 9, 17 through 18. Therefore, our God, hear the prayer and the petitions of your servant. Show your favor to your desolate sanctuary for the Lord's sake. Listen, my God, and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation in the city called by your name. For we are not presenting our petitions before you based on righteous acts, but based on your abundant compassion. Based on your abundant compassion. So listen, when we're going to briefly take a call, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. Listen to what's being said in Daniel. We're not presenting our petitions based on our righteousness, but on your abundant compassion. Wow. All right. Do we have a caller that wants to call in, or what do they got going
yes,
on?
Yes, it's Joanne calling in.
Okay. All right. Let's send her on through. Okay. Send her on through. Send her on through. Knock, knock. This is David. How you doing, Joanne?
David, I'm doing great. This is just a quick praise report before we end the day. My legal meeting went so well. I just want to thank everyone for praying. We serve a gracious and awesome God. So thank you. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne. Excellent testimony. Thank you. We so appreciate that.
Thank
God bless you.
Thank you. We love love you all. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a great way. What a great couple of calls, like right at the end, right? Wowzer. Okay. So let me say this real quickly, and then we'll exit because we only got 2 minutes. So listen, when you pray, God isn't going to respond to you because you are super good. I'm a super good person. If God only responded to people who were super good, how would a sinner ever get saved? It just like makes no sense. That does like this is crazy. It's not based on our righteousness because Isaiah 64:6 says all our righteousness deeds, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. It's based on his compassion. Now, what you don't like about that or what I don't like about that, but then I tell God that, so I'm trying to be honest with him, is, gee, I know, but I wish your timing was faster, right? That's kind of my thing with the Lord is like, can you speed it up? Can you speed it up? But let's understand something. A great reason to pray in Jesus' name is because it connects to the fact that God answers your prayer based on his compassion. It also is obedience because Jesus said, ask in my name. So that's just a little minor thing that he says 3 times in the Gospel of John. But besides that, here's the key. John 16:23-24, I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. You want to know one of the things that God answers prayer for is because he is filled with compassion for you. That doesn't mean he's going to answer it your way or in your time. But it tells you the reason that he answers prayers. You want to know why God, he likes you to pray because he likes spending time with you. But he answers prayers because he loves you. See, I'm like, what? Wait, what? But I'm so this, that, whatever. Yeah, I know. So does God. He knows you're that way. But what's cool is it's not dependent on you. It's based on his compassion. So pray, pray, pray. Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 70 and one half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.